Welcome to the Hog Reaction Show, the only show where you can give your post-game takes on the air. Call or text 877-377-6963. Our reactions, your reactions, all the reactions start right now.
We're live at Randall Ford here in Fort Smith for the Hog Reaction post-game show. And if you can tell by the sound of my voice, the game didn't end the way that I think a lot of you fans wanted to. My name is Matt Jenkins, joined alongside the boss man, Tommy Kraft. We're changing it up this afternoon. Normally, it's me and Phil bringing you the post-game show, but boss, you're going to sit in the chair that Phil normally sits in, so it's me and you to...
I got you. I'm your wingman today, man.
There we go. Let's jump right into it. Our phone number is 877-377-6963, and your Arkansas Razorbacks fall to the LSU Tigers 27-24. And Tommy, there's a lot of different avenues you can go. If you've been looking around on Twitter, I know you were tagged in quite a bit of it. I have been too. There's a lot of different routes that we can unpack about this, and we will definitely right now for the next couple hours and definitely moving into next week. The officiating, whether or not you want to blame it on that. But Tommy, the first thing that jumps off to me, 0-for-10 on third down for that Razorback offense, and you're not going to win ball games if you don't convert a third down conversion.
Yeah, time of possession jumps out at you. You mentioned the third down conversions or the lack thereof. Certainly an issue in this ball game. Special teams and probably some hidden yardage that you lost there as well that jumps out. And, of course, the blocked field goal at the end has to jump out. I think a decision on whether or not you should have kicked the field goal or maybe even went for it there on, what was it, 4th and 3, is one that we'll debate here throughout the next hour and a half or so.
I think for me, just when you look at it, just how poor the offense looked in the start of this ball game, just going 3 and out after 3 and out, which, I mean, we've talked about this on Morning Rush, we've talked about it on halftime, it's just the byproduct of the speed of the offense you can go. But give credit to the defense, despite everything that went down, officiating, whatever it is, the defense hung tough, and they at no point in that ball game just a couple hours ago did I think the defense was gassed or tired. They kept pushing, and they provided you an opportunity to win for going 0-for-10 on third down, and you still had an opportunity to win the ball game at the last part of that. That's a credit to the defense and Barry Odom for what they were able to do, but still a lot to unpack here as we get this Hog Reaction post-game show started, and the phone lines are lighting up here, and Tommy will be getting those phone calls ready. If you want to jump in here, call or text us. We're on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, you name it. We are streaming everywhere. We want to hear your reactions following this Arkansas-LSU ballgame. They are lighting up here. We'll get a few text messages right here. JT in Hot Springs text in and says, "No, Jenkins, we didn't fall to them. We got screwed. Had chances to win, but getting screwed shouldn't ever happen, but it's SEC." And this will be a topic of discussion. I personally don't know if I would go that far to say the officials did it to you at that part, but definitely, Tommy, there was opportunities in that game where as far as the targeting call on Catalan at the last part of the game, the fumble call during the first half that didn't go your way, but it was the same thing with the Auburn game. The special teams killed you during Auburn, even though fans point to officiating. The same can be said here. There's a lot more areas to look at for this Razorback football team than just the missed calls or whatever you want to think about it.
Calls you don't agree with, missed calls, however you want to look at it. I didn't think just to – you know, as someone that probably watches it with a different eye and has a different perspective a lot of times on officiating, I didn't think it was their finest day either. Yeah. There were some inconsistencies today and some things that I think when they look at it and look back and evaluate their own day, they'll probably say, and probably not our finest day. The targeting call, I don't like it either. Yeah. I don't think Catalan was trying to hit in the head and neck area, but I think in the end, what happened? There was forcible contact with his shoulder, not the crown of his helmet. And where did it occur? In the head and neck area.
Exactly.
I don't like the rule. I don't blame the officials on – I mean, I know that's who the target is because that's who it is. Like when you get a speeding ticket, you're mad at the state trooper. Well, you ought to be mad at the state legislature because you don't like the speeding limit. I don't like the rule. I think the rule needs adjustment. So – I'm with you. That we'll talk more about the targeting call. The fact that Catalan is going to be withheld for the first half of the Missouri game is going to be one that Barry Odom's going to have to work around. And, it's an issue. But And then you mentioned the recovery on the fumble. It was pretty obvious the ball was out. How do you say it's not clear immediate recovery when you're standing there holding the ball in the air? So and you really wouldn't have much of an issue with it if it hadn't have been what happened in the Auburn game. So
that or
that's what really is sticking with people.
Either that or the vocabulary that Mark Curls used in that ball game to say if he'd have said any other phrase about clear and immediate recovery.
But that's
what it was. It's exactly what
but
it was.
But that's exactly what the terminology is. So
absolutely.
Absolutely.
All right, let's jump to the phone lines. And, again, if you want to call or text in, it's 877-377-6963. Got three on hold here. Let's go first, Tommy. Let's go to Cody in Bentonville. Cody, you're on Hog Reaction, my friend.
Hey, I appreciate that, guys, especially you, Tommy. Hey, real quick, this is not the referee's fault that we lost this game. Our inability to get pressure on that freshman quarterback cost us the game in the late drives. Catalan getting ejected was not a touchdown play. Things like that. It was our inability to get pressure on the quarterback. Barry Odom did everything in his defensive game planning and scheme to give us a chance to win that game. We were explosive on offense. Guys, anybody can say whatever they want about Arkansas. They can say that they don't respect us or whatever. Every team has lined up and played their best game against us. No team has come in like they would against Vanderbilt. Florida scored 36 points on Vanderbilt today. Everybody has played Arkansas just like they were a cream-of-the-crop SEC team. Mm-hmm. You have to earn respect. In the SEC, it is not given. The only play, and Tommy, this is the only question I have as far as officiating goes, because you earn it. You don't get it given to you, and you don't blame it on other people. But, Tommy, is there any way that that targeting call with Catalan that's the only play that I kind of question, but it wasn't a touchdown play. Can it be reviewed by SEC and be overturned and he gets to play in the first half against Missouri? But besides that, I'm proud of our Hogs.
Good question.
Last year, guys, we would have got blown out, but y'all have a good one.
Thanks for the call, Cody. Tommy?
Good question. I don't know that I have the answer. I don't know that the league can the league just overturn that? Because I believe that's an NCAA rule. Do you have to appeal that to the next level? I'll see if I can find you the answer on that, but I don't know that. I know those get reviewed, and I have two questions. The clear and immediate recovery is as much a question to me as the targeting call, but I know that one will certainly be a clip I would think Coach Pittman and his staff would send in and want some answers on. The contact happened. It was with the shoulder. Did it first happen with the shoulder? It was high. Catalan was trying to, what appears to do, hit in the right way, the way you're coached, and it just doesn't seem like no matter what you do, you can do the right thing. So, and to have your safety that you depend on so much be out for another half, that's a tough one to swallow there with Catalan. I'm with a lot of you on that one. That's a hard one. That's a hard pill to swallow again.
Yeah, and
for a second dose of medicine.
I had seen a couple of Little Rock media members. I tweeted out kind of that same similar question that Cody just asked, as far as can we appeal that decision, or can they review that to try to see that? Because Tommy, we've seen it already. When Catalan is not on this defense, the defense goes down in a hurry as far as on the secondary. So if there's any way to get Catalan back in the lineup from the Missouri game next week, you need to figure it out and do it pretty quick.
He's a great run stopper. You think about a safety, you think about, you know, defending the pass, but I'm going to tell you, Catalan's as big a run stopper as he is a part of your pass protection.
Believe he finished with 16 tackles in this ballgame. He was playing a man possessed out there. Back to the phones. Let's go to Pig Suey. Pig Suey, you're on Hog Reaction, my friend.
Yeah, I tell you what, watching that game, you know, you talk about voters that distrust the system. I mean, that Mark Kulis, whatever his name is, he should be working for the Dominion voting system because it's just ridiculous. I almost turned the TV off. I mean, even when LSU scored the touchdown, and it was clear.
You there, Pig Suey?
I mean, this guy should be fired on Monday. If the SEC has any integrity at all, I mean, he screwed us on the Florida game, championship game, the Auburn game, and then three horrible calls, in my opinion, which is television. Clearly, I mean, the stadium was just going crazy booing with these calls. And it's pathetic. It was pathetic what he did to LSU on the touchdown they scored. And it's clearly in the television review. As a Razorback fan, this is just trash TV. And the SEC better do something about it because I'm sick of it. I mean, my group, tax just went off about the calling. We're always getting screwed. But you know what? I mean, bad refereeing is bad refereeing. Why don't we even have television review? if you got Mark Kulis looking through the television screen. All right, thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for the call, Pixui. I mean, there's a lot of different, and I agree. I'm with you guys. I'm not as happy with the officiating as anybody else, and it sucks, and I get it. But, Tommy, there's a lot of different areas that you could go about. And so many empty drives in that first half. And I'm not trying to deflect the blame on the officials like a lot of people think we might try to do. But offensively, this team was just not up to snuff in the first half. And just so many empty drives. And LSU, their game plan right from the beginning, when you have six of your defensive linemen out for the Razorbacks, they right. punched it right in the throat. I mean, was it effective? Absolutely. They didn't get any big yards out of it, but it wore you down. And the time of possession, I'll look when I pitched over to you, time of possession was easily in Arkansas or in LSU's favor. 41 minutes yep. for LSU, 18 minutes for the Razorbacks.
Yeah, there's your ball game. I mean, you want to look at things. You can look at special teams play. You can focus on the field goal, the decision to kick a field goal, number one, the block and the field goal that comes up well short that you miss at the end of the game that could have tied the game. You know, those are some plays we need to focus on as well. Mm-hmm. You know, are there some moments in the officiating side of the game that we can question today? Absolutely. But that's not – I don't think that's where the game was won or lost today. So, in the end, it's frustrating because you lose 27-24. You felt like you were good enough to win, even though you were shorthanded, as you mentioned, with the defensive lineman out, Rakeem Boyd out. You were a good enough football team to beat LSU today.
Absolutely.
And somehow you, I think, beat yourself more than anything else was a factor in this ball game with some of the mistakes that you made today and just your inability. Was it your inability to get your offense on track, or was it LSU's defense today with their pressure and their scheme today that took away your offense? I guess that's the question we'll try to answer over the next 90 minutes or so.
And you could easily look at it also just kind of where the LSU just had more time, too, because that LSU defense didn't look anything like what we saw last time out when they were at Auburn.
They've had 3 weeks to get ready.
Yeah. And that's no fault of the SEC. It's just the cards you dealt with, the COVID year and everything else that's going on. So they definitely – I mean, if there's still holes, and you could definitely see in the secondary between the throws that Mike Woods played, which, by the way, shout out to Mike Woods. That boy played extremely well for that Razorback offense when they needed him most. Let's go to the phones again. He was a happy camper on Friday when we talked to him on the rush in halftime, but I don't know exactly how he's going to feel right now. That's Eddie in Clarksville. Eddie, you're on Hog Reaction, my friend. Talk to me.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. You know, when you talk about this game, you know, in this series, you're playing for the booth. But, you know, I'd like to give an award today for the host award by one ref today that hosts all afternoon. And I realize I'm not taking anything away from LSU. Billy had probably the best game of his career, and certainly he's going to be a great player in the SEC. But I want to talk about three plays Mark Corrales called against us. One, I mean, what about the fumble? That's twice. In the first half, no doubt we would have got points. How you not? It was clearly a fumble, and you give it back to another simply because you want to give the ball back to him. And then you talk about the targeting call. I mean, my God, he turned sideways. He didn't even hit him in the shoulder, in the neck. But come on now. Yeah, let's get real. And then on the last drive, I want to talk about a personal foul call that cost us yardage that might have could have made a difference the field goal kick when they pinned us up. What do they call tripping? The defender fell down. His defender tripped over our player, and you call a personal foul on it. Well, sir, you get the Hose Award. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling in, Eddie. And it is what it is at this point. Like Tommy said, we got about 90 minutes here with you guys. It's 4:00 right now. We'll probably be on the air till about 5:30 p.m. here with you guys. So make sure you get the calls texting in. Eli and Clarksville painting with us through this next commercial break for Fix and Take, and we'll get you when we come out of this commercial. Like I mentioned at the start of the show, we're live at 5500 Rogers Avenue. We're at Randall Ford right now. And, Tommy, these guys are getting started for their Belt of the Holiday sales event. It's Thanksgiving next week. But then, before you know it, Tommy, Christmas trees are coming up, and it's Christmas time, and they've got some great deals for you and your families to take advantage of here at the holiday season to maybe get that loved one the vehicle of your dreams. Right now, they got over 35 certified pre-owns in stock, 25 pre-owns under $10,000. And Randall Ford here in Fort Smith has the largest selection of trucks in the area, and they have the guaranteed lowest price here at Randall Ford. We're going to be telling you all about Randall Ford all afternoon. We're also going to keep talking about this Razorback loss against the LSU Tigers. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we will take more of your calls and texts and take a deep dive into what went wrong for the Razorbacks. We're back in a moment here on Hog Reaction.
This is Hog Football Reaction, streaming live now from HitThatLine.com. You're listening to Hog Reaction. Our special Razorback postgame coverage is presented by Bud Light.
Back here for Hog Reaction, we are at 5500 Rogers Avenue in Fort Smith. That is Randall Ford, and they've got a great deal of lineups for you guys here at Randall Ford. The holiday season's coming upon you, and we will be telling you about all these great deals here at Randall Ford all afternoon here for the Hog Reaction postgame show. Arkansas falls to LSU 27-24. We got a pair of calls on hold. Eli in Clarksville, Ryan in Poto, we'll get to your calls in just a second. My name is Matt Jenkins. We got Tommy Kraft at Backman in the studios for you guys. We got Phil Elson going to be joining us in the next segment with you guys. He was live at the game, and he's going to offer us his thoughts on what happened during this ball game. Before we get to the calls, just want to hit a couple texts here real quick. Tommy, we got a text out of the 479. Says, I think it's more of an offense struggle to get on track. I know they want to go fast, but you need to slow up enough to let your linemen pick up their assignments before the ball is snapped to avoid tackles for losses.
Say that again. Read that back one more time.
So this is about 479. I think it's more of our offense struggled to get on track. I know they want to go fast, but you need to slow up enough to let the linemen pick up their assignments before the ball is snapped to avoid tackles for losses.
That may be something to that. I know I just tweeted a moment ago. I was just counting through the drives. One of my first things I look at is the drive chart. Arkansas had 13 today. Matt, eight of your 13 drives went four plays or less and resulted in a punt or the one interception.
And I want to say, with the exception of that last drive, I don't think we ever had a drive that went over six plays, right?
And one of those punts was just four plays, 14 yards. So, I threw that one in because to me, when you go four plays, you got a first down, which is what you want. But then when you go basically a three and out with one bonus play, it pretty much falls in the same bucket. But, Arkansas drives like three plays, 4 yards, four plays, 14 yards, three plays, 5 yards. In fairness, you had a four-play, 92-yard scoring drive, so they were able to score quickly, three plays, 75 yards. But there were just far too many three-play, 5-yard drives.
Absolutely.
Three-play, 9-yard drives. The inability to move the sticks consistently has been one of Arkansas's problems. So when eight of your 13 drives go nowhere, you're probably not going to win very many football games against a team you're evenly matched against.
And of those eight drives, they ended at the snap of a finger as well.
Yeah.
I mean, for 30 seconds, 2 minutes, or whatever it is.
Let's see, 41 seconds, minute 19, 44 seconds, minute 32. Yeah, I mean, none of these drives are lasting, and nor would you expect them to with the type of offense Arkansas is running with Kendall Briles. So once they get there, and, Kendall is still, I think, figuring out. Coach Briles is still figuring out, A, what his players can do, and I think that's one reason the offense has gotten better. The offensive line has gotten better, but today it just they could not sustain the drives, and that was just clear to anyone watching the game.
Let's go to the phone lines, and again, if you want to jump in on the conversation, it's 877-377-6963. Eli in Clarksville. Eli, my man, appreciate you holding so long for us. Eli, you are on Hog Reaction, my friend.
I was frustrated by some of the offensive play calling in the first half. The first few drives, we were three and out. We were constantly passing behind the line. We weren't going past the line of scrimmage maybe two plays. When we'd actually attack the defense, we would get down the field 50-yard passes, but then we were scared like we had a freshman quarterback. I don't understand why we don't trust Felipe Franks more than we do. That's all I got.
Yeah. And his downfield.
Thanks for the call, Eli.
His ability to throw the ball down the field, Eli, with accuracy, he's proven that. I mean, when he can set his feet, find his target, I mean, he's pretty good at delivering the deep ball. But how many times in a football game are you going to be able to do that where you're not throwing on the run, you can set your feet, get a good base under you? The fundamentals we hear quarterbacks talk about, people that analyze this stuff. There's not very many times in a football game, Matt, that you're going to be able to do that. So that's not something that you can count on. You've got to be able to improvise when you're in the position these quarterbacks are in.
Improvise and be able to run the football as well. And that was something for most of the game you didn't see that very much, and that probably played a part into it. That way you just didn't constantly go over the top. But I do agree with you. I mean, the plays were there, and it seems like every time the Hogs dialed it up deep, for whether it was Mike Woods, Treylon Burks, the play was always there. There's a lot of different routes that you can go with this. Let's go back to the phones. Ryan in Poto, Oklahoma. Ryan, appreciate you holding, my friend. You're on Hog Reaction.
Yeah, well, you know, you also got to think about it this way. Franks kind of seems like he's, like, a little bit, you know, uneased on, like, throwing the ball. But if he sets, like you said, if he sets his foot, he is able to throw the ball to his running backs, wide receivers. But I want to actually talk about, you know, a little bit of defense. You know, that call that the refs did and everything was horrible.
Are you talking about the targeting call?
Yes. Okay. Yes, the targeting call. Like, that was really horrible. If you take it to, like, the whole entire new level of the NFL and everything, how is that possible? The kid was literally sideways using his shoulder to take down a person. Like, I've seen targeting in high school football and everything, and literally injuring somebody on the gridiron, you know. But I just got to say, the refs were horrible tonight at home, and I just got to say to our player Jalen, don't worry about it, man. Just keep your head up. You got this. Come back next week, and just redo everything. Take one game at a time. Shout out to our new coach, Pittman. You're doing a great job. You're a blessing to our team. And just keep it up, coach.
Ryan, appreciate you calling in. And Tommy, let me jump in here, because Hunter Yurchek just tweeted this out, and referring to Jalen Catalano, the targeting call. This was tweeted out about 15 minutes ago. He says, I cannot change the outcome or any of the missed calls, but I will work with the appropriate SEC officials to make sure that this quote-unquote targeting call does not cause Jalen Catalano our next game. My student-athletes deserve better. So maybe there is an avenue to, whether it's to go to the SEC or the NCAA. I personally haven't ever seen that done before, where they reverse a call like that to do that. Have you ever heard? So obviously this is something that we'll need to take advantage of.
I think there's an appeal process that you can – it doesn't end just on the field. The video can be turned over for a review and an appeal on these types of situations, is my understanding. I'm going to ask some more questions from some people that have better knowledge of that, because this is beyond the rule book stuff here. But there is an appeal process on these things, and it'll be interesting to follow that over the next few days, because as it stands right now, if nothing changes, he'll miss the first half of the Missouri game.
Which, I mean, you don't want Jalen Catalano missing from any part of the game, because we've seen what can happen when Jalen's not a part of that offense, or part of the defense, excuse me. Right. But the last time you lost Jalen Catalano, that was against the seventh-ranked team in the country, in the Aggies. Mm-hmm. You got Missouri coming up next. And yeah. I think, and I'm not disrespecting Missouri at all, but those two teams aren't on the same equal playing ground. So maybe there's a silver lining to it, but obviously if there's an avenue for Hunter Yurchek, for Sam Pittman to appeal this and maybe try to get this decision reversed, a player of Jalen Catalano's caliber, you need him in that defensive front when you get into Missouri next weekend.
I would just caution a lot of optimism there. I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm not saying that process couldn't turn out to go in your favor. Not much else has in 2020, so maybe this will
exactly
be the one thing. But I would pump the brakes on any optimism that this would get turned around. Generally, it has to be an obvious and egregious miss, and what you're asking for. And keep in mind, on targeting calls, the on-the-field officials are instructed to drop the flag, even if you aren't certain on targeting, and let replay officiate the play.
Yep.
And so you're really officiating it not just really once, not twice. It's not an on-the-field and then the review. The real officiating on a targeting call comes in the review ultimately, because it's a very difficult play on the field, because everything happens so fast. And ultimately, are you going to overturn the booth official? I know Mark Curls and the officials on the field are an easy target because they're the ones we see. But the one that made the decision on the targeting call is the replay booth, not the on-the-field officials. So we need to understand the process and how this works. So it'll be interesting to follow any kind of appeal and if there is any kind of change in the decision. But I'm not very hopeful that anything will change.
Being Clarksville texted in and says Jalen Catalon is a coach on the field. I mean, Tommy, every time you see Jalen Catalon, I mean, he's directing traffic. He's always there. And dadgummit, he's only a redshirt freshman or redshirt sophomore, excuse me. So the kid's going to be around for a while, and you definitely want to try to work every avenue you can to get him back in the lineup. Cody in Fort Smith has dialed us up for Hog Reaction. Cody, you're on Hog Reaction, my friend. Cody. Cody in Fort Smith, you there, my friend?
Cody in there?
All right, we'll slip Cody on hold and see if – oh, I think I heard him. Cody, you back there, my friend?
Yeah. Can y'all hear me?
Yep, loud and clear, my brother. What you got?
So I just wanted to talk about Felipe Spring, you know, with his performance today. Do y'all think that would factor into his decision to go pro next year or come back with how well he's been playing lately?
Cody, I was a little bit hard to hear. I think he was talking about could Felipe Franks return next season. I mean, the dude's playing out of his mind right now. And yes, technically he could come back next season if he wanted to. But Tommy, the way he's playing, he may not be a starting NFL quarterback. But the way he's been playing, he hasn't thrown the ball into harm's way. He did have an interception today, Mr. Reed, on the linebacker that slipped underneath him. But he's definitely got NFL potential. I don't know exactly what Felipe Franks will do. I think if you're a fan, Tommy, you want Felipe Franks back, because I don't know how much confidence I personally have right now, if it happened today, in KJ Jefferson or Malik Hornsby.
You know, a lot of people in the media have opinions. I like to ask players and people that played at the next level or played professional football. I get a chance on occasion to be around some of those folks. I was with one last night and ask, hey, what do you think about Franks? Can he play at the next level? And this is someone who played 4 or 5 seasons at Arkansas that knows what he's looking at. And he thought he could use another season at Arkansas if he really wanted to have a good shot in the NFL draft. I've asked others. They thought he was ready now. So it's really a beauty in the eye of the beholder. But really, what does Felipe want? Does he want another year of college? Does he want to further his education? Does he really believe another year would really take his stock to another level? But you know, the answer is, could he come back another year? Yes, this year's basically a freebie for everyone. Arkansas would welcome him back with open arms. It's really Felipe Franks' call on what he wants to do. And the question is, could he benefit from another year of college? Absolutely. But who couldn't? We could all benefit from another year of development and something. The question is, how much more does he think his stock will rise? And how much does that injury at Florida still weigh on him and the risk of playing another season? Does he believe... if I play another year and I take the chance or the risk of getting injured again, I could lose it all. So those are the decisions only he can answer, and him and his family will have to come to a conclusion on. I'm with you. I think he could probably find some work at the next level in the NFL, but how much better could the work be with another year under Kendall Briles?
Exactly.
And you got a game against Alabama coming up that could really be a game you could really raise your profile with scouts if you play exceptionally well.
Just depend on how this Missouri game turns out next week. Tommy, I wouldn't be surprised if that's a national audience, maybe an ESPN, maybe a CBS game, depend on how this thing turns out. But like you said, that's a high-profile game, and if he's able to have success against that Alabama defense, his stock will continually go to rise up. And I'd be curious to see if maybe I can look during a break here. What are the other quarterbacks that will be in the draft with him? Obviously, we'll have a Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, and different players like that. And maybe there's an avenue where it's just like, well, maybe my draft stock's not there, and he could theoretically come back. And for the talent that would be returning next season with a Mike Woods, Jalen Catalon, Traylon Smith, that's an intriguing option to do come back. You could be the starting quarterback again and then maybe try to right the ship and keep transcending this Arkansas program moving forward rather than being a second or third teamer on the NFL level.
Yeah, someone whose opinion we value quite a bit and it has a lot of experience. I don't know if I should – I'm not going to put his name on it because he hadn't told me I could, but he said if he likes to practice squad, he should go. If he wants to get better, he should stay. Or some, basically along those lines.
What was Ty's phrase of being the big man on campus?
Yeah, well, but in his mind, he's been injured once. He had to sit and watch. He had ultimately lost his job, had to go to another school. I could certainly understand why Felipe Franks would not want to take the risk of doing that again, but we've seen quarterback. Wait, we saw the tough road that a great quarterback like Tyler Wilson had. We saw the tough road. Now, Ryan Mallett had a long career in the NFL, but not many games as a starter.
Mm-hmm.
And he spent a lot of time in the league and bounced around for a few teams. But even some of the greatest quarterbacks we've seen in the last 15 or 20 years had a hard time being starters and stars in the NFL. It is not as easy as you might think.
Not every quarterback.
And would you put Felipe Franks ahead of some of those names I just listed? Yeah. I think some of you would fall short of doing that immediately.
Well, he's definitely got the arm strength to match a Ryan Mallett and Timmy.
He's definitely got a lot of talent and a lot of potential.
Well, we're kind of jumping ahead of the horse right here, but that was a good call. Let's go back to the phone lines here real quick. Leon in Sherwood. Leon, my man, you're on the Hog Reaction.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah,
you know, I've played the game. I've been a coach of the game, and I can tell you one thing for sure. This is a league that it starts at the line, both offense and defense. And frankly, today, I know Coach didn't want to talk about it, but we were decimated on the defensive line. These guys played mm-hmm. remarkable. In fact, it was just totally outstanding what they did. But the offensive line is just not there yet. We don't block well. Our play calling, he wants to go wide. Very seldom do we ever get anything wide. I don't know why he does it. But the best thing you can do is probably throw out of the backfield to a back or somebody like that. But other than that, don't go wide with these people. But it was obvious today our team was outmatched on the defensive line. I mean, they just had more people than we did. And I think if we'd been in full strength, I think it might have been a different game defensively. Now, the offense, they didn't do much for the defense. They just didn't do much for us at all. I think in light of that, what I might have done, I would have said, okay, we're gonna slow it down some today and see how that goes. Because they weren't on the field very long, and then they get off. And even when they had touchdowns, they didn't take long to do that either. So something had to give, and I don't know why that wasn't discussed among the coaching team. To decide maybe we should slow it down a little bit and give our guys a little bit more rest. But maybe they just thought that's what they needed to do. Either way, that's what happened. But I tell you one thing, that call on Catalan, everybody talked about it. Even the guys in the booth or announcers were saying that wasn't a targeting call. Yeah. And he never hit him with his head. He hit him with his shoulder. He hit him with the shoulder on his shoulder. It docked his head back a little bit because it was pretty violent. But it wasn't targeting. I don't care what they say. The refereeing was poor today. Defensively, on that one fumble that we could have gotten early on, that was a plain fumble, and we should have gotten that. We didn't get that. Refereeing was bad today. But other than that, guys, I mean, I'm proud of these guys. And they're good. I mean, you can't take it away from them for effort. I mean, they give you everything they got and more. So I'm proud of the team. And we have better days ahead of ourselves. I promise you that. Yep.
Leon, good call. We appreciate you taking time for us today.
Well, I think when you look at it, too, and he brought up like the tempo of the offense, and Tommy, it seems like time and time again, when the offense is in rhythm, and it's not necessarily them going full speed, but when they're quick about their paces and different things like that, this offense is really good. You've seen it in time and time again. But when the team slows down and they're kind of like running their checks and doing the kind of like what I felt like Leon was suggesting, just kind of slowing the tempo down to try to swing some of that time of possession in your favor, the offense skips and sputters a little bit when you slow down like that. So I don't know if it's necessarily a game plan or thing. I mean, obviously it's a game plan thing because they want to go fast. But Tommy, I don't. This team, when you go slow, the offense production goes way down in my mind.
Trying to think of a better analogy for a team with a 3-5 record, but Ferraris aren't meant to run in school zones. And I'm trying to think of it to compare this offense and this team with its record and where this program's been to a Ferrari is
right.
Probably I should spend some more time coming up with a better analogy. But just go along with me here a moment. This offense is designed to be a high speed, quick machine. And, when you take a sports car like a Ferrari, something that's supposed to run at a lot of RPMs and you run it slow, it's just not meant to do that.
Yeah.
And it doesn't run well. It's not what it likes. Well, it's built for speed. Well, this offense is built for speed. I think now we haven't been able to watch practice. We don't get to go to practice. They don't send us practice film, so we don't know. But I would imagine since they play at a certain pace, they probably practice at a certain pace. Just a man with some common sense probably come to that conclusion?
100%.
So I don't imagine they spend a lot of time in practice trying to figure out how to run the play clock down. So when you get in a game and then you're trying to slow it down, I think that's just the next evolution to this offense. Now, that's just me talking, trying to put some common sense into it, but I don't imagine they have been able to evolve the – and I know it's evolved the offense to running slower. Well, yes, that's one of the areas they're going to have to grow to because they're still working at getting really good at being fast.
And there's times when they are really good at
and
it.
And, yes, they show flashes and signs of that, but I don't imagine they practiced a whole lot at this point on trying to run the play clock down.
One other thing Leon touched on, we're fixing to take a break here, but one other thing we'll talk about when we come back here was the fact, I mean, obviously the defense was decimated on the defensive line and six guys are coming back, and hopefully if everything goes right up. We had a text earlier, and I think it was out of the 870. No, excuse me, it was out of the 210. Hopefully those six defensive linemen, Brakeem Boyd, will have a healthy weekend, and they should be back ready to go next week. But, Tommy, I'm encouraged because of all the decimated depth that you had on that defensive line, and, yes, you gave up yards, but it could have been a lot worse for what we thought it could have been.
Yeah, and they were out there for 42 minutes.
Yep.
I mean, the guys that played are exhausted, I guarantee you.
Absolutely. We're going to take a quick break here. We are live at Randall Ford right now at 5500 Rogers Avenue here in Fort Smith. They're having their holiday sales event. It is underway right now. They've got an incredible lineup of pre-owned vehicles here at Randall Ford right now. They've got, you can get $5,250 retail customer cash back on EcoSport SCSs. They've got 90 days deferred payments, low interest rates here at Randall Ford. They've got an incredible pre-owned lineup, so make sure you come out over here to Randall Ford today. We're here until probably about 5:30 or 6 o'clock, depending on how many calls we get in, which we've had a lot so far, and we will keep fielding your calls for the rest of the show here today as we recap the Arkansas-LSU game. Arkansas falls to LSU 27-24. When we come back, we're going to get Phil Elson. He is on the halftime show, and he'll be joining us here coming up next here on Hog Reaction.
You're listening to Hog Reaction. Our special Razorback postgame coverage is presented by Bud Light.
Back here on Hog Reaction, we are live at Randall Ford at 5500 Rogers Avenue here in Fort Smith, recapping Arkansas's 27-24 loss to the LSU Tigers. Real quick, we're going to go to Phil Elson, my co-host over on Halftime. Let me tell you guys real quick about what's happening here at Randall Ford. Right now, they've got an incredible lineup of pre-owned vehicles, 35 certified pre-owns in stock. 25 of those pre-owns are under $10,000 right now at Randall Ford for their holiday sales event, which is getting kicked off this weekend here at Randall Ford. Right now, you can also get 0 for 60 months plus up to $2,000 trade assist on select models, and that's only here at Randall Ford. Make sure you ask your sales professional about a Ford promise, the 12-month buyback program over here at Randall Ford. They're ready. They've got a lot of great salesmen here, and they're ready to take care of you. Let's go to the phone lines and get my main man who normally sits with me here for the Hog Reaction postgame show. That's Phil Elson. Phil, I miss you, but I'm glad to hear your voice here on the Hog Reaction Show now.
SmackDown, it's good to talk to you, man. Tommy, very interesting game. Very weird game today. And, you know, for other reasons, I had a pretty interesting, like, 45 minutes to an hour after the game ended, too, on Twitter. So that'll something we can maybe get into a little more on Halftime on Monday. But I will say, I am very highly looking forward to Monday's show.
We're going to have a good time, but, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think we will have a very good time. Depends on the tenor of others, I think, is the best thing to describe it. I don't blame people for being frustrated and upset with this loss today. You know, and you know how I am about where blame goes for losses, and I very rarely, if ever, will lay it on officiating. And you know, I think that there are too many problems with Arkansas offensively right now to really lay it on officiating or one targeting call or a couple of other things. It was a poorly officiated game. I think that's both ways. But to me, this was more about Arkansas's inability to sustain drive, to run the ball with any effectiveness unless it's a broken play or Felipe Franks is, you know, creating after a play breaks down. To be the fact that LSU had more time of possession in the first half than Arkansas had for the entire Florida game or the entire game against LSU, I think says the problems that you're facing. I think it's awesome that you have this big play capability. That's incredible. And to see 4 50-yard passes or 4 passes of 50 yards or more, I think is wonderful. But, you know, I mean, you've got to be able to sustain drive, at least have the ball for more than 2.5 minutes, 3 minutes on occasion, and give your already depleted defense an opportunity to catch their breath. You know, I think that defense played their hearts out. I don't know how they could have done much more when they're on the field for 42 freaking minutes.
Well, so Phillip,
that's the takeaway I have at the end of that.
And already shorthanded to begin with to start the game.
That was my point, because like when you look at this team, Phil and Tommy, I mean, 42 minutes of time of possession, that defense was on the field 42 minutes, and at no point in that ball game, and I missed the last 5 minutes getting ready to come out here to Randall Ford, but at no point in the defensive effort did I ever think that those guys were gassed. You could tell that they were tired and getting worn down, but at no point did I think that our guys can't get out there and get a stop and try to keep this offense in the ball game.
Well, I agree. I think that they had to have been a little bit worn down.
Had
to have been. I just don't see how that's not the case, especially when you were down. To, I mean, I don't, how many defensive linemen were even available for this game today? And then you're down Jalen Catalan after that targeting call. That's exactly right. They're depleted to the point of, I think, that's obviously one of the reasons why it's so difficult for them to get off the field on third down sometimes. I mean, they were able to make some plays, you know, a ball that they stripped away, some stops on third down inside their own 50-yard line, but LSU was able to move the ball before their drive would stop. And then the other aspect of this, too, and this doesn't have anything to do with the offense specifically, but it does give you a sense of, you know, where LSU's drives ended. And we got into this on halftime, the effectiveness of Zach Von Rosenberg, their punter, and one area where LSU does excel, which is on special teams. And Arkansas's average starting field position was inside their own 20, again.
Yeah.
And this is, right now, not an offense that can go down the field 85 yards on a continuous basis. So I don't know how you fix that. I don't think by now you can fix it. I think that this team is what they are for right now, and they're not a team that can run the ball with efficiency or regularity, and they can't sustain drives on a consistent basis. But they do have a quarterback with a big arm, and they got some receivers that can get past the secondary, and they've got some speed there. And T.J. Hammond's come out with his best game as a Razorback, I think was great, considering he only has 2, maybe 3 more left. Are there enough big plays offensively for Arkansas to get a win against Missouri? I sure hope so, because I right now don't have the faith that they can go 85 yards on a consistent basis and give their defense enough time to rest.
Well, Phil, we had a call before we got you on here with Leon and Sherwood, and it was talking about just the offensive pace, because and Tommy made the comparison like a Ferrari going through a school zone right now, because when the offense is in a rhythm, maybe not necessarily going just full speed, but in a good, solid, let's go quick rhythm, they're pretty successful. And you saw it a couple times, especially when those first couple drives, it was just 3 and out, 3 and out, and then boom, you get a touchdown just like that. And he was trying to, do we need to try to slow this game down to try to swing some of that time of possession into our favor? But, Phil, I don't think this team, as it stands right now, which with a team that had no spring ball, no summer ball or anything, is capable of throwing a drag-it-out, slobber-knocker type of an offensive showing. This team has to go fast, which is great because you get points real quick. But on the flip side, you lose time of possession battles and throws an already depleted defense out there on minimal rest.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be interesting to go back and look at the scoring drives for Arkansas this year and how many of those drives lasted more than 7 or 8 plays, you know, and how many of those drives lasted longer than 3 minutes, you know. And a lot of times you'll look at a stat sheet of a team or a box score and you realize that in a lot of games and for a lot of teams, time of possession is an overrated thing. That is not the case with this team, because now it's so out of whack that even a defense that is better than serviceable is on the field too much for that to matter, unfortunately, against a team, even a team like LSU, you know, and they're not as explosive as Florida. Not many teams are, but That is the truth. And that right now, they're not built. I think they would like to be able to slow it down, but they can't. And I think they're always looking to have that high tempo. And it does work out nicely. I mean, look at back-to-back huge plays from Franks to Woods, and I forget the other receiver. Just two plays that get you down to the 1 yard line where you're able to run it in. You know, I mean, the pace of that drive meant something for why they scored and the strengths that they have. Their strengths are not, you know, 5 yards on the ground on a consistent basis. It's unfortunate, but. And the defense does not play into that weakness very well. No, time of possession with this team is a real thing. And like Clay said on his keys to the game, he was loud about this all week, guys. On the morning rush and on halftime and in Hogs Illustrated, the game was going to be won and lost on third down. And think about how close Arkansas was to... Think about this. They almost won a game without converting a single third down.
Yeah. I mean, but this offense is not built to get first downs 4 yards at a time. And that's what we're really saying here. This offense is built for chunk plays, to get bigger plays, to move the sticks, to use Burks, to try to get the speed that they do have on display. They're not going to line up and just get behind a left or a right tackle and mow over a defensive end and get 4 yards. It's just not built to do that. So, therefore, yeah. You've got to use the rhythm of the offense by trying to snap the ball fast and get the defense exhausted in order to take advantage of a mismatch.
You know, and on the flip side of that, too, Tommy, I mean, if the Arkansas offense is built and geared more towards the big play, which they are now, the defense is, too. Like, that's where the defense makes their money this year. It's not on third down. It's not on pressuring the quarterback. It's on takeaways. It's on big plays in the secondary and linebackers getting their hands on passes and doing something about that. That didn't happen today. You know, there was one takeaway. This team, we've gotten into it. They need takeaways to win games. Yeah. Not every team does, but when you don't have the offense that can grind it down the field like that, I think you need more possessions and better field position, and your defense gives that to you by either a lot of three and outs, which doesn't happen against Arkansas too often, or takeaways, which has happened in wins and not happened in losses. Yeah.
One of the things that will be discussed, I know, on the morning rush, on halftime with you guys, and probably around a few Thanksgiving turkeys or two throughout the week, is the decision with a minute 24 to go to attempt the field goal of 44 yards that ultimately was blocked, and it was an attempt to tie the ball game. Fourth and three. Phil, what were your thoughts? Arkansas, had time on the clock. The kicking game has certainly not been reliable this year. Arkansas was 11 plays, or it was an 11-play, 48-yard drive. What were your thoughts as Arkansas ended their final drive with a missed field goal that could potentially have tied the ball game and perhaps sent the game to overtime? That was the hope, but Arkansas fails on the field goal, could have sustained the drive, maybe got closer, maybe even scored a go-ahead touchdown. In fact, they fall to a missed field goal there.
You know, I think in Sam Pittman's mind, it's almost like a damned if you do, damned if you don't. You're blocking on field goals and special teams overall has been abysmal all season long, and that's knowledgeable. You got the kicker with the legs to do it, and who can be accurate, but you're relying on your field goal unit, which has been spotty at times. And on the other hand, here you are, it's the fourth quarter, you're 0 for 8 on third down. What's to say that you're going to be able to convert 4-3? Just because you want to, quote-unquote, win the game. At that point, again, you might just be what you are. And 4th-and-3, when you haven't converted 3rd-and-3 or 3rd-and-5 or 3rd-and-2, I can certainly understand the decision that he made. Yeah. And I honestly, now that I'm talking it out, I agree with the decision. Because I don't think they could have gotten the first down on 4th-and-3. There was nothing that happened throughout the game that told you that they would.
Yeah. And to give you another, bullet for your holster, you'd watched A.J. Reed make a 22-yarder earlier in the quarter. So I know 22 yards and 44 yards are, obviously 20 yards apart, but you had some confidence that his mind was in the right place when you sent him out there.
Yeah. It would have been really – and my initial thought was they're going to go for it here because, you know, you got a chance to 4th-and-3 with a quarterback who's mobile, and that's my initial thought. And then, the theme of the game for them offensively was inability to run. and inability to convert third down. So, again, the more you think about it, the more I think I'm realizing Sam Pittman made the absolute right decision to go for it, to kick the field goal. It just, special teams really this year for Arkansas is a big downer.
Phil Elson here with us on Hog Reaction. Phil, me and you were texting during the game, and I gave you a hard time for comparing Jalen Catalon to Troy Polamalu because I'm the Cowboys fan and you're the Steelers fan, but that's just the relationship me and you have. But the more I thought about it, and when I gave you a hard time on your tweet about that, that's a high comparison for Jalen Catalon. But, Phil, I mean, and hopefully this appeal process with Jalen Catalon will work out and he's able to be in the lineup for the Missouri game. But, Phil, losing Catalon, even if it's just for a half, that's a big blow for this Razorback defense because, like you said, Troy Polamalu made differences for that Pittsburgh Steelers defense back in the day. It's the same thing Jalen Catalon can do with this.
Well, I mean, it's just to notice the instincts that he has at that position that, you know, when he breaks into the backfield and brings down a running back, he obviously knew what was happening because he's such a great film studier. And he just always seems to be, I mean, if at the right place at the right time for a big hit. And I think that's an unfortunate circumstance for this targeting penalty that now has happened to him twice, but that's because he's at the right time at the right place to deliver a big hit. And it's an unfortunate deal now when you're a big hitter in football and specifically play that position that you could do everything right. Because to me, it looked like he did everything right on that targeting call, leading. You noticed he was trying to get his head out of the way.
Right.
He was making effort to not lead with his helmet and go with the shoulder. But, you know, because the receiver is hunching a little bit and he's defenseless. He's trying to make a catch and you read the rules and you read the questions that the officials are supposed to ask about it. Man, I think one of the toughest things to do in all of sports is to be a good, hard hitter in the secondary and not come away with two or three targeting calls every season. So I heard you talking about it, Tommy. There's got to be, I don't know if some rewriting of the rule or whatnot, because that was not a player attempting to hurt another player in an illegal way.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree.
And when you watch the replay, it's noticeable how he pulled his head to the side.
Well,
so I hope the SEC office takes that into account.
Yeah, to me, to use the old adage, the punishment doesn't fit the crime. Being disqualified from the game and missing half of the next game does not fit what happened on the field. And that's where, I mean, people want to, we had a bunch of calls, tweets, and interactions blaming Mark Curls. First of all, Mark Curls, the on-the-field official, is not the replay official. He is not the one that makes the decision on this. Ultimately, to me, this targeting rule needs a lot of discussion and a lot of review from the rules committee that is comprised of who? Coaches. And they need to come to some conclusion on what the penalty mm-hmm. should be to go along with this rule, and if the rule needs some adjustment. I'm not sure the rule is bad. I think the penalty that goes along with the rule is bad.
Sure.
It's
sure.
Just, I mean, like, it's just
turn it
like
into just a 15-yarder or something.
Right.
It doesn't have to be in a disqualification for that the rest of that game in Jalen's case, man.
Exactly.
And I think
first half degrees to it.
I think you could honestly tell, though, like whether or not what the rule changes are, you can easily tell like when a player is being vicious and trying, like going headhunting versus what Catalon did in this game right here. I mean, and maybe that's a difference right there because, Phil, I think you could easily tell that off of a replay. Like if that was the rule and the rule was, A, was it vicious or B, was it just a hit? Did he lead or whatever it is? I think that's a call that a replay official could make right there if that was the rule.
Yeah. It's so unfortunate, too, because, again, I really feel like Jalen's skill set led to him being in position to make that. I think there are a lot of other safeties in college that would have been late to the party and would have missed him or wouldn't have been able to deliver a hit that hard.
Yep.
Just because they're not Jalen Catalon. I think that he really is that good.
Yep.
So his skill set helped lead to the targeting penalty, but I also think his headiness led to it. But his headiness is the reason why he shouldn't be disqualified for the first half against Missouri because he was moving his head out of the way.
Yeah.
Like, think of what a safety would have tried to do 15 or 20 years ago. If that was Steve Atwater, he would have taken the guy's head off.
It was a different era then. I mean, you're exactly right.
Well, Phil, there's a lot more discussion we can have with this, but we got a trio of calls here, and obviously we got a we got our whole week show prep done for this coming week heading in for the Missouri game. So, Phil, thanks for hanging out with us. I will see you bright and early Monday morning. Thanks for taking some time for us to join us here on Hog Reaction.
Absolutely. All right, Matt, Tommy, you guys have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
That was Phil Elson, co-host of Halftime with me, weekdays from 11 to 1 here on ESPN Arkansas. We got Brent in Fayetteville, Breck in Paragould, and Drew Dogg in Springfield, Missouri on hold. Guys, we will get to you coming out of this commercial break. We're going to be right back. We are live right now at Randall Ford, 5500 Rogers Avenue here in Fort Smith. More Hog Reaction coming up next.
This is Hog Football Reaction, streaming live now from HitThatLine.com. Welcome to the Hog Reaction Show, the only show where you can give your post-game takes on the air. Call or text 877-377-6963. Our reactions, your reactions, all the reactions start right now.
Matt Jenkins and Tommy Kraft joining you here from Randall Ford at 5500 Rogers Avenue here in Fort Smith. This is the Hog Reaction post-game show. Recapping the tough loss the Arkansas Razorbacks faced against the LSU Tigers, 27-24. Like I said, we're at Randall Ford right now. Great deals happening at the largest pre-owned vehicle lineup here in the River Valley. They have the largest selection of trucks in the area, guaranteed lowest prices. Make sure you come out here to Randall Ford. They're open until 6 o'clock this evening, and they can get you fixed up in a new vehicle. And, Tommy, we got a loaded call board right now, so we're fixing to get through these. We went a little long, so we're going to be quick here. So, guys, if we're called to you, just give us a couple of remarks as we got a lot of people trying to get in here for the Hog Reaction Postgame Show. Let's not waste any time. Brent in Fayetteville leading us off here. Brent, you're on Hog Reaction.
Yes, sir. Tommy, I was just so proud of how our team played, but it just seems like every call that could possibly ever go against the Razorbacks, we get it this year. And another thing that I am concerned about, our special teams are atrocious. There is no excuse for getting a field goal blocked from an outside rusher. And we were told by so many people how great a special teams coach Scott Waterfountain was and how great a kicker A.J. Reed was. They have never done anything when the chips are down for the Hawks, and there must be a change at the end of the season with our special teams coach. And I'll take your – I'd like to listen to your response.
Okay.
Thanks for calling in, Brent. Appreciate that. I like that. Scott Waterfountain. I hadn't heard that before. Well, I mean, Tommy, I don't think special teams wasn't great. Don't get me wrong. But they didn't shoot yourselves in the foot like they have a couple of these losses this season.
Well, I thought there was some lost yardage in the game.
There was, yeah.
You let some punts roll on the ground. I was talking to Brett Goode, who no one knows more about special teams than Brett and his evaluation of some things. And obviously everyone's going to have an opinion on the play with the block kicked at the end. To say all of this is Scott Fountain's fault and that's where special teams fell apart, Brent, I can't get on board with that. I mean, special teams have been bad for a little while. You hadn't had a great kicker since Hocker. What's Arkansas's biggest problem they've had, or one of the biggest problems? It's hard to really say this is the one big issue, but team depth and team speed are two big issues, right? So when you don't have great overall team depth, it's hard to have great special teams. And Arkansas doesn't have great depth, as we saw today, particularly on the defensive side, just to man your offense and defense. Anyone want to argue that?
Yeah.
Probably not. I mean, team depth overall is just an issue. Well, I mean, that's where it shows up the most is in special teams, and I think that's what we're seeing. If you want to lay it at the feet of Scott Fountain, be my guest, but I think when this team depth gets better, I think you'll see an improvement in special teams, whether it's him or someone else coaching special teams. This, to me, my opinion from my chair, for what it's worth, is a function of just where you're at with team depth.
Breck and Paragould, you're on Hog Reaction, my friend.
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Loud and clear, my friend. What you got, my brother?
I got 3 points I'd like to talk about, and I'll make them quick for y'all.
Okay.
I'm not really a conspiracy theorist, but this SEC officiating is getting pretty bad for the Razorbacks. Also, the offense, I mean, you can't keep beating a dead horse if we can't run the ball. we got to pass it a little more than what we did. The defense, I mean, I'm a big Barry Odom fan, but you got to go with more than three down guys. They're just running it down our throat the whole game. I know they didn't have a lot of rushing yards, but they burned in too much clock. I mean, way too much clock.
Well, Brick, I think part of that is too. Just that's part of the game plan. That's just part, like, it's part of the depth issue that you got. I mean, and this team has been successful with three down linemen and eight back out. And I thought the defense would have played a little bit better, just maybe getting some turnovers on a freshman quarterback. But Ben, don't break. But I mean, Tommy, I'm not quite sure.
Can't get enough pressure with the right. Three down linemen.
No, that's just a byproduct.
Exactly.
And ultimately, today you look at the numbers for LSU: 148 rushing yards. But 271 passing yards. And what I look over here is what the defensive chart for Arkansas with the three guys. You got four quarterback hurries. You got one sack today and six tackles for loss. So, I mean, not horrendous, but you got to find ways. And when you don't have Dorian Gerald, you don't have Nichols, and you go through the list of guys, six guys or whatever you're missing today on that defensive side,
in the rotation.
And I was reading some quotes during the last break that were emailed in to us from Jonathan Marshall about the number of snaps he played today. Fatigue's going to take over. And absolutely, when you have no depth to depend on in a game like this today, it's an amazement to me in some ways that Arkansas was within a field goal of winning this thing.
I got that right.
Or at least tying. Didn't have a chance in overtime, perhaps.
Brick, thanks for calling in, my friend. We got to run. We got a couple more calls we want to try to get squeezed in here real quick because we got a lit-up phone board right now. Let's go to Springfield, Missouri, home of Bass Pro Shop. Let's go to Drew Dog up in Springfield. Drew, you are on Hog Reaction.
Hey, can y'all hear me?
Loud and clear, my friend. What you got, Drew?
All right. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, man.
Kind of building on that previous caller, my question was, I didn't understand, so we go with three down linemen, right, and mm-hmm. LSU runs the ball a lot, and I'm not questioning Barry Odom. I mean, these guys do this for a living, and they're very good at it. I didn't understand why we didn't put more men in the box. And then on the flip side of things, on the offensive side, if they're giving up 10 yards reception, 10 to 12, why aren't we throwing the ball and stretching the field a little bit more? I was just curious. And then also, Trey Knox. I'd like to know a little bit more what is the story on that. But I listen to y'all all the time. Love the show. Y'all do an amazing job. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Drew. Tommy, I think for me, I mean, Trey Knox, he was targeted, I believe, twice, if I'm not mistaken. He'd had one catch.
Catch
for 9 yards. I think he was a targeted receiver on Felipe's interception that he had.
Yes.
So lots
that,
of
now, that interception hasn't even – we haven't even gotten to that, but what a big factor in mm-hmm. the final equation, the bottom line of this ball game, that play was.
Yeah, because that resulted in a touchdown. You don't mm-hmm. throw that, you probably win this ball game. What, 24-17, I guess it'd be 24-17 24-20. Excuse me. Yes, thank you. My math ain't working on a Saturday night. So, yeah, lots to get through with that. Let's take one more call, Drew. Thanks for calling in, my friend. Let's go down to Texarkana, PA. One of our favorite callers on the Morning Rush, PA. You're on Hog Reaction.
Just a couple of things, Jack. Quick. As far as analytics go, what they call Samalytics or whatever, that's easy to figure out whether you should kick a field goal or go for it on 4th and 3. Well, there was 1:40 to go, whatever it was. Are we more likely to kick a field goal, a 44-yard field goal in the rain, in the pouring rain, or are we more likely to make a 4th and 3? In my opinion, we're more likely to make a 4th and 3. So that's the play you make.
Well, PA, do you
we're
have
not
a problem
to win any of this? Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, we were 0-for-10 today on third down and 1-of-1 on fourth down. So,
would you have went for it on fourth down, or would you have kicked the field goal?
I would have went for it. I mean, because really and truly, we've exceeded expectations this year.
I'd agree.
Anyway, and everything right now is just icing on top of the cake. And the other thing I wanted to say was, Tommy, I know you're a referee. In all my like 50 years of watching football, and I cannot recall a fumble on the field that was not knocked out of bounds, you know, or it was on the field and they said nobody recovered the ball. Now, have you ever seen that? Have you ever seen that? Really?
Well, they went.
I've never seen that call before.
They went.
Nobody recovered the ball.
Well, no, the guy. You know, I don't remember which Razorback was standing. There was a Razorback that came out of there. Was it Fouché that was standing holding the ball? I mean, to say there was no clear immediate.
Fight it out down there at the bottom of the pile, and whoever comes out with it, it's their ball.
To say there was, again, someone needs to explain this one to me. I'm with you. I don't understand. And if it wasn't for the Auburn game, we probably wouldn't be as frustrated. Let's be honest. But after what happened at Auburn, and then. We see that play. We're like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice. I mean, but what do you do? I mean, I'm with you.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't understand how you watch replay. You see that there was no, and even when they made the announcement, there was no question the ball was fumbled before he was down. They didn't, they didn't try to say, no, there was no fumble. No, there was a fumble. The question was about the clear and immediate recovery. And I guess, I'm at a loss on this. Clearly, as you can see from my lack of explanation, how you don't come away with Arkansas having possession of the ball on that either.
I've just never seen a ball fumbled on the field, an actual fumble.
Well, it happens
where
sometimes where it's in a
down there, and then nobody it's called. Nobody got possession of it.
But that's not what happened on that play. What happened on that play is the ball was fumbled and it was loose, and then Fouché comes out of the pile. With it clearly, and he's holding the ball up over his head. Now, when it goes into a scrum or in a pile, and you know they're having to unpile all the players, and they're just fighting. It's a free for all at the bottom. That's one thing. But what happened here was the ball was clearly out, and Fouché, who was on the edge of the pile, gets in the pile, picks it up, and he's standing there with it.
Right,
I can't understand how you don't come away with a conclusion that it's Arkansas's ball.
Right. I was using that as a worst-case scenario, that there was a scrum.
Right.
Clearly, there wasn't a scrum.
No, there was not.
I was just using that as a worst-case scenario. That's all.
That one was a head-scratch for me. Thanks. Have a good rest of your weekend. But that was one of a couple of frustrations. Listen, I thought the officials did not have their best day, and I didn't think it was just those two calls that didn't go Arkansas's way, the targeting call and the one that PA just called about. I thought the play down around the goal line where they had to review the touchdown and whether or not he was in bounds or out of bounds, that was maybe a break that went Arkansas's way. There was a few that maybe didn't go LSU's way today that just as an official looking through it through the stripes, there was four or five plays in this game that leave you kind of shrugging your shoulders a little bit. So, no, it wasn't the best day for the stripes at all.
Once again, we're here at Randall Ford at 5500 Rogers Avenue here in Fort Smith. It is their holiday sales event. It is underway right now. You guys, they've got some incredible deals happening here until 6 o'clock this evening, and then they'll be back open here tomorrow, and they will have the same great deals happening for you. Make sure when you come out here, ask about their mobile service van. It's convenient, it's safe, and they can come to your office, your house, and take care of most of all your service needs. If you need to get your oil changed, if you need to help change a tire, you name it, this mobile service van here at Randall Ford, one of the only ones here in the River Valley. It is out here to service you and to take care of you. 5:10, we're going to go to about 5:30 this evening here on the Hog Reaction Postgame Show. We've got an open call board, so make sure you give us a call if you want to jump in on the conversation. It's 877-377-6963. More Hog Reaction after this quick break.
This is Hog Football Reaction, streaming live now from hitthatline.com. You're listening to Hog Reaction. Our special Razorback postgame coverage is presented by Bud Light.
I'm at Randall Ford here at 5500 Rogers Avenue here in Fort Smith. My name is SmackDown. Matt Jenkins got Tommy Kraft running the studios back there in the fort. And I got my man Taylor here from Randall Ford. And Taylor, the whole move, I thought when I was heading over here getting ready to get set up, I thought we were going to end this thing and probably be talking about a win, but it just didn't work out that way.
We're just 10 yards short, man.
10 yards short with that. So we've had a lot of texting calls. I mean, people maybe talking about the officials and different things like that. But, Taylor, I think there's a lot of different areas where this team probably could have improved a little bit and then probably came away with the W.
Yeah, I think there were definitely a lot more opportunities than we realized going into it.
Absolutely.
I really felt like we were going to take the boot home no matter what, and it just didn't seem to play out for us.
I know you said before we came back live here, you take Alex Tejada back in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I'll take Tejada or Hawker at this point after that.
Yeah, we'd love to have Hawker back.
Exactly. We got an open call board here for you guys, so if you want to get your calls and text in, it's 877-377-6963. Calls and text, you name it. We want to get your reaction here. And like I said, we're at Randall Ford right now, 5500 Rogers Avenue. Taylor's one of their great salesmen here. And Taylor, you guys got some great deals going on right now. It's crazy to think about. Thanksgiving's coming up next week, and then you're right into the holiday season. You guys kicked off your holiday sales event. It's underway right now.
Yep, so we've got 0% on SUVs with up to 2,000 trade assistance on select models. I've got over 25 pre-owned under $10,000 here, guys, and we've got some great rebates on F-150 right now. So it's a good time to get an F-150 with the 2021s about to roll in. Come and get the last of what's left.
And there's some beautiful new vehicles coming with that 2021. And we've been here a couple times, and you guys are taking pre-orders right now. Speaking of 2021s, on the brand-new F-150s coming out, and also one thing I'm really pumped up to see in person, those new Broncos, man. Those things are absolutely beautiful.
We're going to have a couple here this month that are going into our rental program, and we're going to get to see those driving around
town.
That's
awesome. It's fantastic. Got a lot of great deals. Like you said, you guys got a great pre-owned lineup here as well for people. Maybe if a new vehicle's not in their financial window right now or anything like that, there's nothing wrong with a pre-owned vehicle. And you guys got 35 pre-owns in stock right now. And like you just mentioned, 25 of those you can get under 10 grand right now.
So we're really, you know, trying to help out those people that need the lower payments. They're needing that $200 or $300 payment, and we can definitely do that.
Absolutely. You guys got 90-day deferred payment plans, low interest rates right now, and the pandemic's caused chaos for everything. But right now, I mean, if you're able to take advantage and have the finances to get you a vehicle right now, the interest rates are very, very low right now, which spells good news for your customers.
That's right. We're never going to lose a deal over interest rate. I can promise that.
You think Razorbacks will come away with the W next week?
I hope we do. But, you know, if you see the look on my face and you're laughing, you can see how I truly feel about it. It's you know, I think the season's been a success already.
Yes.
He's going to win. I personally think he's going to win Coach of the Year. We're definitely the most improved team.
Absolutely. I mean, Tommy, bring you in on this too. I think if you asked a lot of our fans that, where this team was just 365 days ago, you played against the team. Now, granted, 3/4, 99% of their team has gone off that national title team. LSU a year ago was a 40-plus point favorite against you, and at one point you were favored against this team. Yeah. And that's just the trajectory, and that everything's changed with this. But I think just based off that, you're a satisfied Hog fan just based off what we've seen so far this season.
LSU's changed as much as Arkansas's changed.
That too,
she's
absolutely
been in opposite direction. So that 42-point swing in the betting line, there's two sides to that coin there a little bit.
Absolutely. But, yeah, you sound satisfied, Taylor.
Hey, I'm happy with it. Like I said, if we got two wins this season, it was a win for me. So
feels like house money, doesn't it, Taylor?
And we all know that we have one more win than they say we do.
Absolutely. And I think everybody's competitive right now, which makes everything – yeah, that team, the team last year would have folded easily at halftime.
They would have laid down.
Absolutely. I completely agree. Make sure you come out here to Randall Ford. You guys are here until 6 o'clock this evening.
Here until 6 o'clock.
And then you're back open tomorrow at?
We're closed on Sundays.
Oh, you're closed on Sundays. Excuse me. So
we take the day of rest here at Randall
Ford. There
you go.
Good for you.
And we're really thankful for that.
Absolutely. So Monday, what time?
We're going to be here at 8 on Monday.
8 o'clock on Monday. So if you're able to make it out here until 6 o'clock today, come by and check out these great deals. Otherwise, be out here bright and early Monday morning. Taylor and all these great salesman here will take care of you guys.
Yep, absolutely. We're here to help you guys and here to help you get in a new vehicle.
Taylor, appreciate you hopping in here with
us. Thanks for having me out.
Tommy, let's take one more break here. We got an open call board. If you guys want to jump in here and jump in on the Hog Reaction, it's 877-377-6963. When we come back, we'll take your calls and texts. We'll also jump around the SEC. Got a great game coming up this evening over at Bedlam, Oklahoma State. We'll recap some scores from the day, what's coming up this evening, and a whole lot more here on Hog Reaction. We're back in a moment.
This is Hog Football Reaction, streaming live now from hitthatline.com.
Matt Jenkins and Tommy Kraft joining you here for the Hog Reaction postgame show. Arkansas falls to LSU 27-24 in heartbreaking fashion. That puts the Razorbacks over a record now to 3-5 on the year. And we'll have our final thoughts coming up. And also, we got your calls and texts coming up. We have an open call board if you want to jump in here real quick. It's 877-377-6963. And we are live right now at Randall Ford at 5500 Rogers Avenue here in Fort Smith. And like we just you heard Taylor just say here, they are open till 6 o'clock today. Close tomorrow for Sunday, then they'll be back open bright and early Monday morning at 8 o'clock and take advantage of their holiday sales event. We don't have any open calls right now, so make sure you jump in here.
If you got something to say, you better do it now because you got about 10 or 15 minutes, and we're out of here.
We're out of here.
So if you want to talk, you better do it now.
Because we got some good games coming up here. But real quick, before we wrap it up, let's just jump around the SEC and what was happening in the conference today. I had one game get postponed today. Obviously, we talked about the Arkansas-LSU game. Right now, 5 minutes and 40 seconds to go in the third quarter. Alabama handling business right now against Kentucky. 42-3 right now, Tommy.
Yeah, they really kind of got off to a slow start. 7-3 at the end of the first quarter. Then Alabama has poured it on from the second quarter on. 21 second quarter points, 14 in the third quarter, and Alabama running away with it right now. Like I said, at home over Kentucky, no surprise that they're winning. No surprise really at the margin either. 42-3 is Alabama in the same boat as what we saw LSU. It's been 21 days since they played, and they looked refreshed and relaxed and rested today, taking on a very good Kentucky defense, but Kentucky's offense not able to keep up with Alabama.
Can we call this a surprise of the day? Florida only beat Vanderbilt 38-17.
Yeah, they kind of just
they kept Vanderbilt in it. I mean, maybe not Vanderbilt wasn't in it, but they just they hung around and hung around and hung around, eventually pulled away, did Florida. But I was kind of surprising me because they were hanging in there.
It's 10-7 Vandy at the end of the first quarter, and that kind of raised some eyebrows. And it was 17-10 at the half, and Vanderbilt only scored 7 of their 17 in the second half. 38-17. Florida played like they were playing Vanderbilt today. Let's just be honest.
Is that the Heisman quarterback, you think, Kyle Trask? He threw for 383 and 3 touchdowns today?
Yeah, 26 for 35, nearly 400 yards, 3 touchdowns. He didn't do anything to hurt himself today.
Got 3 games still on the slate here for the SEC. Tennessee and Auburn kick off here in about 30 minutes. That's on ESPN. Auburn favored by 10.5. The Georgia Bulldogs taking on Mississippi State. That's at 6:30 on the SEC Network. And I just saw a tweet. Georgia's going the back in black uniform. So there's a little bit of red meat material if you're a Georgia Bulldog fan out there listening. And then on the SEC alternate channel, South Carolina taking on Missouri. And I think South Carolina's in a prime position for a letdown. I think Missouri's fixing to run all over South Carolina, Tommy.
How do you want that game to go if you're an Arkansas fan?
Knowing
you're playing Missouri next week, do you want Missouri coming in off a loss, off a win? We'll have one eye on that game. There's a couple of games tonight, like I said, to keep an eye on. Tennessee, Auburn. You got Bedlam over in the Sooner State.
Looking forward to that one tonight.
That's one worth watching. So there's certainly some football tonight. We had football earlier in the day in the top 25 that was going on while Arkansas was playing when you had at Ohio State and Indiana. That game was kind of gotten away from Indiana earlier or in the middle part of the game. Then they fought back in the fourth quarter with 14 fourth quarter points to make it a 42-35 final. That game probably wasn't as close as the final, but I think that's actually good for Ohio State SmackDown because now it makes Indiana's win over a top 10 team seem a little more legitimate.
Absolutely.
You follow me on that. So Indiana, some people feel, maybe they're not as good as they were 4-0 going into this game, now come out 4-1. Obviously, them playing Ohio State to a touchdown, I think, brings legitimacy to Ohio State's win that they're just 4-0 now. Because Ohio State comes up and it's you're trying to compare them teams, Ohio State, to another team maybe out of the SEC. Maybe they've validated Indiana a little bit today with the final score only being 7.
And they needed that because, I mean, it's going to get to the point where you're comparing apples to oranges with Ohio State being, just say they finished 7-0, 8-0, whatever it is, and then you got a Texas A&M team, for example, finishes with a one-loss SEC West.
As weird as it sounds, I think Ohio State better suited and better served themselves winning by 7 than 27 today.
I
know that's a backwards logic, but I really believe that.
I agree. Because, I mean, you could look at it both ways because Indiana was a 20-point underdog, I believe it was. 20 or 24, 20 and I think.
Half, yeah.
20 and a half.
You're
so,
right,
I mean, they played them to a touchdown. Indiana covered, but good for Ohio State. They get the win there. Jumping also around college football, Iowa State is up 38-0 over Kansas State. Oregon's up 38-28 over UCLA in the fourth quarter. I have Northwestern in our halftime game day picks, which, by the way, Tommy, I don't know if you've been catching this. If I lose our halftime game day picks, I have to watch The Exorcist. and I am not looking forward to that.
You're not afraid of scary movies, are you?
Yeah, yes, sir, I am.
6'5", 195 pounds will be nice. okay, 220.
Yeah, 220,
still,
no, that's fine.
Still being nice. And you're afraid of scary movies?
No part of me wants a scary movie. No part of me with that. But, yeah, Northwestern, that was one of my picks. Northwestern beating Wisconsin 17-7 right now.
Right now you're looking good, but there's still some football to play, 9.5 to go in that ball game.
Looking forward to this Oklahoma State-Oklahoma game. Liberty taking on NC State. That might be a sneaky good matchup with the way Liberty's been playing, especially if you're wanting to see Hugh Freeze maybe work his way back into the SEC, maybe to that South Carolina job. Mm-hmm. That'll be one to keep an eye on. And then real quick before we wrap it up, Clemson and Florida State was supposed to play today. That was an odd cancellation in my mind. Because
kind of last minute, too.
Last minute. And from everything I've seen on Twitter, I think both teams passed COVID protocols and different things like that. They were technically able to play the game, but it just seems like Florida State backed out at the last minute.
And they were the home team, right?
Yeah, they were the home team. Yep.
The game was going to be in Tallahassee. Very unusual that a team playing at home is the one to say, we're good and we don't want to play, because they're the ones that stand to lose the potential revenue of the ticket sales and the concessions. And I know it's all limited to, 25% or whatever, but 25% of something's better than 100% of nothing right now. So it's very unusual that home teams are the ones that, unless they're forced to, the team that calls it off.
Well, that's going to wrap it up here for our Hog Reaction post-game show. Tommy, what are some of your final thoughts here with this game? And obviously, we've got our show prep done for the coming week for the Morning Rush and halftime. Just obviously, the officiating is going to be the topic of discussion heading into the week, but there's a lot of area for improvement heading into Missouri next Saturday at 11 o'clock.
Yeah, and I understand that that's going to be the area where people are frustrated the most, and it's an easy target for a lot of our frustrations as fans. And listen, it was not a great day for the men in stripes, but it wasn't a great day for the offense either. 8 of their 13 drives were 4 plays or less and ended in a punt or the interception. We haven't talked nearly enough about the interception and how that changed the complexion of this game today.
That
was more or less a pick six. I know it didn't go down that way, but the next play, LSU scores and gets that ball into the end zone from a yard away. So that more or less was effectively a pick six in this ball game. You take that off the board, you have a different ball game. Special team still gives you no confidence, and it's shaky. So was officiating part of the game today? Yeah, it blends in there somewhere into the quilt of the fabric of this one today. But in the end, Arkansas still has a ways to go offensively. Very proud of the way the defense played, though. Knowing you were shorthanded, preparing, and knowing these coaches and players knew all week what they were up against in the battle. I don't think they probably knew they were going to play over 40 minutes and take the number of snaps they did. I thought they played admirably once again. And the one thing you can rely on is this defense, I feel.
Felipe Franks finishes the day with 339 yards passing on 17 of 26 passing. You finish with 104 yards net rushing for the Razorbacks. Felipe Franks actually led all rushers, 57 yards rushing. For the Razorbacks, Traylon Smith and T.J. Hammonds both gave you 29 yards and 28 yards respectively, finishing off with 104 yards rushing, 339 passing for the Razorbacks. So there's your final stat line for you guys. T.J. Finley over at LSU finished with 271 passing off 42 pass attempts, 100 yards rushing for Davis Price for LSU. You definitely have the statue out. Yeah, I gained him offensively, just ran out of steam late, and just so many mistakes offensively and a slow start offensively really kept you in check there.
Yeah. You mentioned T.J. Finley. He looked like a young, inexperienced quarterback that had 3 weeks to get ready for a ball game is what he looked like. And, tip of the hat to his coaches and to Finley to get himself prepared. I know probably half or more of that time was getting ready for Alabama in that ball game, but whatever they did served him well, and he did not mind walking into a road environment and playing well with the 2 touchdown tosses, fairly accurate and accurate enough at 27-42. Didn't turn the ball over with his arm, and like you said, 271 yards. He was good enough to get his team to the winner's circle today.
If you missed any of the postgames to the Hog Reaction postgame show, we'll have this for you on all of our Hit That Line social media platforms on SoundCloud, iTunes, Spotify. Ty's put wherever you listen to podcasts, Ty Richardson of the Morning Rush, he's put this thing anywhere available for you guys to listen to. So there's no excuse. If you missed any part of this, it's always out there for you guys to get out there and listen to.
Yep, that'll do a good job on that.
Absolutely. Well, so we'll have a full lineup of content for you guys coming up here on the Morning Rush and halftime this coming week. week. That'll wrap it up here for our halftime. Or halftime. Good Lord. It's late, Tommy. I need to get I'm not used to this.
Just getting early.
It's getting early. That's
just
true.
Just getting early.
That wraps it up for our Hog Reaction postgame show. For Tommy Kraft, I'm Matt Jenkins. We will have this for you up on our social media channels here very, very soon. Arkansas falls to LSU 27-24. Let's turn our attention to Arkansas, Missouri next weekend at 11 a.m. For Tommy Kraft, I am Matt Jenkins. This has been the Hog Reaction postgame show on ESPN Arkansas.